Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
My parents, my mom and my dad, were both named Athlete of the Year at their respective high schools. And because they loved sports, they really wanted me to love sports. And my childhood was really dominated by my basketball career. I was really good at basketball. And even though I didn't love it, it was what I was going to do. But by the time that I was 18, I never wanted to play basketball again for the rest of my life. So of course, when I had kids, dealing with my own stuff and wanting something different for my children, I decided under no circumstances am I gonna put them in sports or pressure them in sports. Well, lo and behold, my two oldest kids are obsessed with sports and they are actively angry at me now that they are 9 and 11 and that I have not been actively developing their sports careers. And so now I am very much a sports mom, spending almost every afternoon, evening, and weekend on a sports field of some kind. And with some healthy perspective on it all now, I can really see the value of sports, not only in my kids' life, but in my life. The lesson of what it means to work hard and be resilient. And that certainly has stayed with me through all of adulthood. And so now as I see my oldest two kids get so locked in and motivated around sports, I am seeing it as this real like vehicle for their own personal growth. It has opened up so many wonderful things in our lives, despite the fact that I had reservations and that it is a big burden on our family. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I am Liz Tennedy, a sports mom, and I'm also the co-founder of Motherly and a mom of five kids myself. Today's guest is renowned sportscaster and television personality, Erin Andrews. And now Erin has launched a new sports fan gear and fashion line just for women called Wear. Super cool apparel that is designed for women, all in their favorite styles for their favorite sports teams. In our conversation, we talk all about Wear and a certain famous pop star who was recently seen wearing one of these really cool jackets. We also dive deep into Erin's fertility challenges, her surrogacy journey, why she's been so public about all of that over the years, and her current challenges with brand new motherhood. We also talk about the positive benefits that sports can provide kids. Erin Andrews, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys having me. I don't know how mothers keep stuff straight. I got line one blowing up with the Dallas Cowboys. I just left my kid down at my house 20 seconds ago. How do mothers do this? I'm still learning on the fly. 4 months has been crazy in.
Yeah, I don't know how we do it either. And some days I'm like, but I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I just want to be in a quiet room by myself for a year and to recover from it.
I haven't found my balance. You know, for me, it's hard because I've got my job that I need to do. And like, you know, you're getting blown up that somebody isn't going to do an interview this weekend. They just released a kicker in Los Angeles. That's for my game. I'm pumping my clothing line. And then, you know, my kid is going through a phase now where when he's woken up to do a feeding and all that, he screams his brains out. It's like, wait, what? How? And then people have multiple kids. How do you guys do this? This is crazy.
It is so crazy. So you're a new mom in the thick of it. I I don't know, an old mom doesn't sound quite how I mean it, but I have 5 kids and my oldest is 11 and my youngest is 8 months. So I do remember kind of when I was at your phase in new motherhood, truly feeling so incredibly overwhelmed, even by basic things. And I don't feel that way now. I just went through new motherhood again with our little guy. And I don't know, we could talk about it, but it's such a skill, in my opinion. If you've never done this really difficult thing before, of course you don't really know what you're doing, but you are such an incredibly accomplished woman. And I can only imagine like how many projects and how much pressure is always out there for you. So in this 4 months since you've become a mom, what does that feel like for you? Is it different? Like, what has shifted in you?
I already know from my girlfriends that are full-time mothers and, you know, aren't traveling. They always tell me there aren't enough hours in the day. For me, there aren't enough at all. I am trying to find a balance with all of this and I am failing miserably. It was so funny. Somebody DM'd me the other day and said, why aren't you talking about how hard it is to be a mother? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I feel like that's all I'm talking about. It's really difficult. And I think after the first month of having him, I wasn't in season with football. Like we have been going and going the last 2 months. And the first month I was like, yeah, this is good. We got this. And then it's like, you're on the road, you're missing things. Like I just did a break from doing some press and ran over and sat with him for 20 minutes and then ran back. It's just, yeah, I just don't have a handle on the balance yet. And I don't know when I will. I mean, literally yesterday I was driving in the car to go somewhere. He wasn't in the car with me, but I was like, I don't even know where I'm going right now. Like, what am I doing exactly? Am I paying attention that the light is red or green or like, what street am I on? So yeah, I feel a little out of my mind right now. It's kind of nutty.
So I want to maybe ask a bit about your journey to motherhood, which I know was quite challenging. Can you tell our listeners about your long and often public journey to motherhood and what you went through?
Yeah, I mean, I had started doing IVF before my husband and I were engaged. You know, it was like when we were dating, because it wasn't even so much about him. It was more about just having some insurance because I didn't know when I was going to get married. I didn't know when I was going to have a kid. I was very much work focused and so forth. So I started doing IVF then. And then it wasn't until like 2017 that I had found out I had cervical cancer. And that was kind of when the pressure was on to really ramp up my IVF because I wasn't making a lot of eggs. And to even think about having them be turned into embryos, I needed a lot more eggs because anyone that goes through IVF knows that just because you get 11 eggs doesn't mean you're going to have 11 embryos or 11 babies. It's just not the case at all. And for me, it was a lot harder. I started later in my life. I also was dealing with cervical issues, so that hampered it as well. So in 2017, after I was diagnosed, I found out, wow, I better get more IVF treatments in and they better be successful, which obviously put a lot of stress on me, my relationship, everything.
How did you think about that fertility challenge at the time? Did you look at it like, I've accomplished so many things and I'm going to persevere here? Did it rock you? What was your relationship to infertility?
I was resentful of it because it was kind of like, why am I dealing with this? I've had success in a lot of places in my life. Why am I having to do this? Everything then, I think from 8 years to 9 years was centered around fertility treatments and going to get my blood drawn and going to get an ultrasound and seeing how many follicles I had and seeing if my levels were good this month and maybe what drug can I be on and what estrogen pill can I take and what patch can I do and so forth. It was really 9 years of my life and it was a lot. It affected a lot of vacations. It affected a lot of work trips. So I turned really resentful and stressed out. And yeah, it was a lot.
Talk to our listeners about then deciding to work with a surrogate, which is an increasingly common path for women, but one that I think a lot of people aren't totally familiar with. How did you come to that decision?
Well, not easily by any means. We had had a lot of failed attempts. We had lost a lot of eggs in the process of trying to create embryos. We really kind of basically had been told if I carried, it would be a very, very high risk pregnancy and probably wouldn't even work out. If I went into early labor and I was working, I probably would have to stay wherever I was and be there for 9 months. And it just really started to come into focus that this wasn't going to be easy and really not successful if I attempted to have a baby on my own. So we thought because we had a limited number of embryos that it was the smart thing to do to have a surrogate.
What kind of connection points did you have with your surrogate during her pregnancy?
Well, first of all, my first attempt at having a surrogate did not work. I mean, we found a woman. She was lovely. You get to get very close with their family. This is like, you know, 6 months in the making of trying to have a relationship, going through medical tests, going through legal, going through interviews, going through all that stuff. And then our attempt wasn't successful. And we ended up losing 2 babies. And that was really hard for obvious reasons, but also because we were without 2 embryos and we don't have a lot. And so that was a huge failure. That was a huge test for my mental state and my husband and our relationship and all of that. So to get back on the horse again to try to find a second surrogate, that was even more difficult and draining and complicated. That took a couple of years to try to find the perfect one. My doctor was very strict in who we picked because we had had a failed attempt. We didn't have a lot left in the bank in terms of embryos. So we went through probably 3 or 4 candidates before we found our second girl, which, like I said, that took about 2 years.
What was your relationship with the surrogate like? And I'm just curious, how did you build both a connection with the surrogate and also with your baby during that unique journey?
You do it through time and trust. And we also got matched up with a great surrogacy group, and Family Match Consulting, our woman, was so lovely and made sure, you know, the surrogate that we were with really was somebody that we could get along with. And then, you know, I think it started, I don't know, but like a lot of other surrogacy relationships, we were on a text chain together. My husband and I are very personable people. We just, would start texting. We'd meet them for lunch. We'd be on the phone on FaceTime during appointments and so forth. And, you know, this woman in this family is basically raising your baby for the first 9 months before delivery. So yeah, we wanted to have a really good connection with them.
And what about the second part? What about just the unique experience of building that bond with your baby while another woman is the surrogate? How did that work for you?
Well, I don't even know, honestly, how you answer that question or how you do that. I mean, we would obviously see her at lunch or so forth. It's not like I was around the baby very much because she lived about 2 hours, 3 hours away. So what she did for us, which I thought was really special, is I'm on television. My husband's on television for sports. She would actually turn my games on and she would turn my husband's games on. And she would have the baby hear our voices and so forth. And yeah, it was really special. And obviously, like I said, we were on FaceTime for the appointments and so forth. But in terms of us building a connection with the baby while she's carrying it, it's not like we lived close. I think there's a lot of situations like that in terms of surrogacy. But she did such great things to help us out with it. Also, too, this was our first time doing it. We didn't know what the hell we were doing. We had never even had a baby before anyway, so we didn't know what was going on. So that's why I thought it was really special. She had done a surrogacy before us, so she really guided us through this whole thing, which I was so grateful for because she answered a lot of the questions that we had. She helped a lot of our fears and our moments that we had, like, what's going on? So she was, I know in my heart, the biggest reason why this was so easy. It wasn't an easy ordeal, but she made it as easy as possible.
Can you tell us about the birth and meeting your son for the first time?
Yeah, the birth was really interesting because despite the fact that we loved her and we loved her husband, we didn't really know how that was going to go down. There were so many questions in our mind. Are we going to actually be in the delivery room? Are we going to maybe stay outside? How do we handle this? So we had actually had a couple of friends that had gone through this. So we picked their brain and that was so helpful to get guidance and kind of help understanding how to deal with this whole situation. So yeah, it was beautiful. It was lovely. It was not how we expected it to go. I think the good thing was we didn't have expectations. But again, she was such a pro. She's such an angel. She handled it. And yeah, she will get all the credit because she made it so wonderful.
So what was it like bringing your son home?
Stressful, that 3-hour car ride where we've never had a baby before in our car and it's 11 o'clock at night.
Such a famous car ride for so many people, though. Like that moment of the hospital letting you take the baby home. Like, wait, they're letting us bring this. We don't know what we're doing. It's so common.
I know. We're on massive highway in California. It's the middle of the night. We're pounding Starbucks in the back seat. It was crazy. My mom and dad and my sister and our golden retriever were waiting at home. And so, yeah, it was pretty nutty, but it was wild. He didn't make a noise. He looked like Mr. Magoo in the car seat, all bundled up. And yeah, our nanny came 2 days later. Thank God.
So after everything that you and your husband have gone through to bring this baby into the world, like, what does it mean to you to become a mom now?
I mean, listen, it means a lot. It's very, very hard, but it means a lot. It was, you have to try to remember what you went through in the moments that he's screaming bloody murder to you. And you're like, did I break your arm? And I didn't know, like, why are you yelling at me so bad? But we went through hell and back to get this baby. It was a lot of tears. It was a lot of disappointment. It was a lot of frustration. It means a lot. It is very, very special. I don't even think you can explain it, because I think infertility, the ride of it all until you get that baby, it is the cruelest journey, I think, for, you know, a couple, a relationship. It is just, it is the most emotional roller coaster I think somebody could be on.
What kind of support helped you through that time?
My friends were amazing. And I know it was so hard for them because they had zero clue. I mean, all my friends had babies naturally, like, you know, like they're three kids, two kids. We were the last ones. And my friends were amazing, asked all the right questions, were there for us when we would get our bad results, were there for us throwing parties when we had our good results, were on FaceTime as soon as he was born and crying. And it was just, yeah, my friends were amazing. And I think that's one thing that's hard for friends when their people go through infertility and maybe journeys like this. You don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. And if you have questions, ask them, because it's hard for us to sit there and explain everything and be like, oh, and this is what's going on. And also, you don't want to put your friends out. So I was just so grateful for my core of friends and my family. My parents were amazing. My sister is incredible through the whole thing. But yeah, my group was so good in terms of being like, okay, so what happens now? And what does this mean? And what do we do? So it was really cool.
Well, what are your friends saying now? You mentioned that you're in this thick of new motherhood, the fog of new motherhood, like, whoa.
You're okay. You're gonna be okay. Yeah. I always say to them too, like, I feel bad. I never really appreciated what you were going through. I was always the friend that didn't have a kid and was like, let's go to dinner. I'll bring a bottle of wine over. And they're like, it's fine. You don't know it until you're in it. And now I'm the friend that I'm like, I don't know how you're doing this with two kids. I don't know how you're doing this with three kids. I feel like such a loser. I'm missing everything. They're like, first of all, stop apologizing. And second of all, we get it. You're good. You're going to be fine.
I love that. Thank God for great friends with you through it all.
100%.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, I want to go back a little bit more to the beginning. I know your dad was a broadcast journalist. So did you always want to do what you're doing now, sports journalism? Is this what you always envisioned for your career?
I did. Yep. Even when I was a little girl, I was just like, this is exactly what I want to do. So yeah, I kind of knew pretty early that this was it.
What about sports journalism was so clear in your mind?
I just think being around the athletes, the stories attached to them, how hard they worked, where they came from, the coaches, the relationships, all that kind of stuff. I love it. I have NFL Network on right now. They're reviewing the Monday night game that happened last night. I can't get enough of it. It is my passion.
I am a now sports mom. I definitely grew up in an incredibly athletic family, but now it's kind of come full circle where my oldest two sons are so obsessed with sports that first thing on the TV when they wake up, play sports all day, baseball at night, basketball, the whole thing. And then at night, they have to watch a game before they can go to bed. I am curious about what your take is on the role of sports in society, because I personally have gone in almost a 180 kind of thinking about it. Like, I don't want to do that whole sports thing as a mom. It seems like such a commitment, to now witnessing how sports has given my sons so much focus and drive, and they work incredibly hard. What's your take on what a healthy sports culture looks like for families? Our listeners are moms, and a lot of them are raising kids, you know, on soccer fields and sports fields.
I can't really speak to that because my kid isn't old enough to play, but I know that obviously my husband is a professional athlete, and I danced throughout my entire childhood and up until college. I even danced in college. I was on the dance team at Florida. I really feel strongly about parents that get their kids involved in anything athletic or groups or things like that after school. I think that you need the structure. I think that you need the discipline. I think you need the responsibility. My mom would hold it over our heads. Like if I was fighting with my sister over something or I was being sassy to my mom said, great, call your dance teacher right now and tell her you're not coming. And I would throw myself on the ground and start screaming, crying, and begging her no, because I did not want to let down my team or my dance coach or any of that. And I really do believe that the relationship I had with my parents, the relationship I have with my sister, and the fact I didn't want to let down my dance teacher or my teammates really was why I was a kid. I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I didn't have time for trouble. I didn't have time on Friday nights to go to the movie theater. I'll say it, make out with boys in high school because I had to wake up early on Saturday for our dance competition. Maybe I went to college a loser, but I just really feel like that was so important to me. That taught me a lot about being competitive. It taught me a lot about being on for my job. It taught me a lot about, you know, wanting to work for something, having goals, wanting to do well in college so I could, you know, go on to other things. So I don't want to speak towards what my husband, and he had a career and went to play in junior hockey and obviously was drafted and so forth. But you are working towards something in your life that you don't want to let a group down. You don't want to let your family down. And I'm so glad that's what my parents did.
Is there a healthy way to do it, you think? Parent-driven versus kid-driven? Or what would you imagine a healthy balance is?
Yeah, in terms of my mom and dad, they were always so... first of all, they were amazing in terms of driving their kids back and forth to the dance studio. I mean, we didn't come home till 9 o'clock at night.
That's the phase of life that I'm in. Like my life just went from this kind of play dates and going to the park with the little ones to like, oh, I'm just driving the car to baseball for the rest of my life. That's where I'm at.
I don't really understand that until I'm living that, but I get it. My mom was dropping us off at 5, picking us up at 9. I mean, we had school the next day. There wasn't time to make dinner because we're running around, but my parents were so good about getting us back and forth. My parents were great about the dance competitions. You know, we have to go to Orlando, we have to go here, we have to go to Lakeland, we have to do all this. And look, I wasn't very good at dance. I like to think I was. My sister was a lot better than I was, but they were so supportive and whatever we needed. And they would never push us if we didn't love it, but we loved it so much. We just couldn't get enough. And we had to take this class and we had to do this dance competition. I just think let your kid kind of lead the whole thing in terms of they want to do this. They want to be involved in that. Don't make it about yourself and the things you didn't accomplish in your life. I would let your kid really kind of lead it. I've heard too many things about parents and, you know, well, my kid needs to do this, so I'm going to talk to the coach. Okay, but is that about you or is that about your kid? Be interesting to get involved in all that once Mac is old enough. Yeah.
You will get there. And I promise so much sooner than you realize. I feel like, wasn't I just on the basketball court as the player? And now I'm like the baseball mom. This whole industry is very clearly so dominated by men, and in particular, broadcast journalism as it relates to sports. How do you think things have changed over your career for women in sports journalism?
I just think how many of us you see out there in on the field, either helping out with players, there's coaches, there's athletic trainers, there's GMs, we're just a lot more noticeable around the entire industry. So that's exciting.
Has it gotten easier for you? I would imagine you obviously are so outgoing and friendly and easy to talk to, but I don't know, it seems incredibly intimidating to me. Like if I go back in time 20 years to be the only woman in the locker room, the only woman on the field. Is that true? Has it changed for you?
I've never been the only woman in a locker room or the only one in the field. So that's definitely helped. I feel like I like the chip on my shoulder. You always see the great athletes, and I'm not comparing myself to any of these guys at all, but the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the head coaches that have had chips on their shoulders, they always need something to push them into the next gear. I've liked that. It's like, let me show you what I can do and how hard I can work. Do I like constantly dealing with that battle? No, it's not my favorite. Do I feel like my presence could be a little bit more out there? Absolutely. But, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there.
So one thing you have done to get there and change sports culture is develop a clothing line of sports-themed apparel that women actually want to wear, which I'm like shocked that that didn't exist until you brought this brand forward. So why did wear need to exist?
Well, wear needed to exist in my mind because I, like you said, I'm a huge sports fan. I went to the University of Florida. I like to cheer them on when they're winning, but that hasn't been in a while. My husband played for the Los Angeles Kings. So obviously wearing stuff to his games and support their organization. So I just felt like there was a huge white space. I felt like typical, there was a lot of selection for men at the pro shops and not a lot for women. And I felt like the stuff that was available, maybe not a lot of thought and love put behind it. And I just thought, listen, women are 50% of the demographic here. Like, why can't our women look fashionable and evolve with their style just like men do when they're cheering on their team? So it took us a really long time for someone to listen and give us a try. And I'm proud to say we've kicked ass along the way. We're still trying to prove ourselves, which is crazy. But like I said, a little chip on your shoulder is always good for people.
So a pretty famous woman recently wore your jacket, I think to a Kansas City Chiefs game. Is that the one and only Taylor Swift wore a wear jacket to a recent game I saw?
Yeah, she wore our windbreaker, which was pretty special.
What does that mean to you to like be in the center of such an incredible public conversation going on right now?
I mean, it meant so much just because, like I said, of how hard we've worked, how many people are still giving us a hard time about our stuff in terms of, we just don't know if we can sell this. We don't know if there's a need. Listen, there's always barriers we're trying to bring down in everything, but we've obviously had some challenges. We've obviously had a lot of no's before yeses. So it felt good. I mean, we're for women by women, and to have one of the most popular women, one of the most beloved, positive influence out there for young girls and even girls my age, I'm a Swiftie, was just so special. Yeah, it was really cool.
All right. So you've been a mom for 4 months. What is your favorite thing about motherhood so far?
I think just what I was able to do for a couple of minutes at home was just like make him laugh, look in a mirror with him. I'm not at myself, but he just cracks up at the mirror. He's so intrigued at looking at the other baby in the mirror. Yeah, it's really sweet. I love seeing my husband with him. I love how he's tracking our dog now. That's really funny. And I love bath time too. It's very sweet. He turns into this angel baby. We're like, where was this little demon that was screaming at us like 2 hours ago? Where'd he go?
Oh, yeah, I know. And after the bath, when they become the most adorable baby burritos, I don't know. That's one of my favorite things too. What do you think motherhood has taught you about yourself so far?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think I'm still learning. I'm not sure what it's taught me. I mean, I know what it taught me getting to motherhood was that obviously I'm a lot stronger than I had given myself credit for after what I put my body through. But yeah, the whole experience, I'm still waiting to see what it's going to teach me.
All right, Erin. So what's next for you? What's next on the horizon for you, your career, your working motherhood?
I always gave athletes a really hard time for saying we're just going to take it play by play and day by day. And I think right now what's next is I'm just trying to get through today. I mean, honestly, if we can get through today and be okay, if I can get through, you know, trying to talk to this team and getting them to get me this interview I need, if I can get to a workout class, if I can spend good quality time with my baby, that was a good day. But what's next? I don't know. I'm just literally for the first time, I'm like, I just got to take it day by day because that's where I am right now. I'm in the thick of it.
You really are. And honestly, a decade in, and I think I said to my best friend today, I'm like taking it hour by hour right now. So it's kind of a theme for sure. Erin, is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think is important for our listeners to know?
One thing we didn't mention with Wear is that we did announce we have a baby line. We're very excited about that. We're carrying it right now in Major League Baseball, NFL, and NHL. And we have a couple of styles and they're super cute. I think one of my favorites is the one piece little, you know, long sleeve and pants kind of. And it says on the front of it, it's got like a sticker like, hello, my name is. And it says, hello, I'm a new Packers fan. I'm a new Vikings fan. So super cute.
Yes. And fandom, especially around cute baby stuff for their teams is huge. So I'm sure it will do really well.
Really cool. Yeah, for sure.
Well, at Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers. And so what I mean by that is we have talents, intuitions, strengths, things that we didn't even know were inside of us maybe before we became a mom. What do you see as your superpower?
Gosh, I don't know that I have one yet because I'm not there yet with thinking that I'm nailing any of this or having a superpower. I think bringing him here, I knew that mentally and physically, there's not much I couldn't do after what I went through to get him here. I'm still searching for my superpower with a 4-month-old. So I'll let you know when I find it.
All right. Erin Andrews, thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
I appreciate you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, that's it for our episode. Thank you so much, Erin. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to our podcast. We'll be back next week with another great guest. You don't want to miss it. As always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So if you can right now, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes no more than 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show, and I read all of your feedback. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett, with audio editing from Joel Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Olivia Hendrickson. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.